Okay, I want you to picture this for a second. It's Monday morning, February 12th, 2026. You're at your desk, the coffee's just right, keyboard's ready to go. You open up your email, and you're expecting, you know, the usual stuff, Jira tickets, maybe a newsletter. But then one subject line just stops you cold. It's from your AI coding assistant.
The dreaded update to our pricing policy email.
Exactly. And you think, okay, maybe it went up a dollar. You open it, it's not a dollar. Your subscription just jumped 50%. Overnight.
It really does sound like something written just to scare software engineers, but for thousands of developers, this was a very real Monday morning.
We're talking about the recent bombshell from Zupu AI. Now, for anyone who doesn't track the Asian tech markets, Zupu is a huge player founded by researchers from Tsinghua University.
Right.
And they have this GLM coding plan, their answer to GitHub Copilot, and boom, the price just shoots up from 99 yuan to 149 yuan.
Which is what, like going from 14 bucks to 21 US dollars, a big jump.
A huge jump. And the reason they gave for it, that's the really interesting part.
Yeah, looking at the press release, it was so telling. They didn't say, you know, we added new features or anything like that. They cited an unexpected user surge and increased infrastructure costs.
Which to me is just corporate speak for we are losing our shirts paying for the electricity to run this thing.
That's exactly what it means. And if you're listening to this and thinking, well, I use Copilot or I use Cursor, so I'm fine. You are absolutely missing the forest for the trees here.
Right. This isn't some niche market quirk.
No, this is a massive warning sign for the entire industry. I mean, we've already seen GitHub Copilot creep up from, what, $10 to $19 for business plans?
$19. And Cursor went from $20 to $30.
Exactly. The trend is already here.
So the golden era of the $10 all-you-can-eat AI coding buffet is...
Yeah.
It's over.
I think it's safe to say the era of cheap AI coding is ending. The market is just correcting to reality.
Okay. So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're going to unpack exactly why this is happening. Why does it cost so much to have a robot write your JavaScript?
The hidden economics of the invisible factory.
Exactly. But look, we aren't just going to sit here and complain about inflation.
No, that would just be depressing. We're also going to talk about the rebellion.
The rebellion. I love that. The rise of local models, running this stuff on your own hardware to, you know, beat the system.
Opting out of the subscription madness.
But first... we have to understand the beast we're dealing with. Why is Zupu, and really everyone else, raising prices? Is it just corporate greed?
It's so easy to assume it's greed, but when you actually peel back the layers of what's happening on the technical side, running these services is wildly expensive.
It's not like running a normal SaaS app.
Not at all. I mean, if you use Spotify, streaming a song costs them fractions of a penny in bandwidth. AI is totally different. Every time you hit Tab and VS Code for an autocomplete, you're not just pulling data from a database. You are kicking off a process called GPU inference.
Inference. That sounds expensive just by the name.
It is. Your request is creating a brand new piece of data from scratch. And to do that, it has to be processed by these massive industrial grade chips. We're talking NVIDIA A100s or H100s.
So these are the chips that cost, what, $30,000 or $40,000 each?
Exactly. So every time I'm feeling lazy and I ask the AI to write a simple for loop for me, I'm basically spinning up a Ferrari's worth of silicon somewhere in a data center.
In a way, yes. And it's not just that single line you're typing. This is where the whole context window thing comes into play.
Right. For the AI to give you a good suggestion, it can't just look at your cursor.
No, it has to read the whole file you're in, maybe another file you link to. It needs to understand your variable names from three files over.
It has to know that user ID is a string, not an integer.
Exactly. And all of that context creates what are called token costs. The model has to read thousands of words of text every single time before it can generate even one character of new code. And it has to do it instantly.
Because we're impatient. I mean, if the AI takes even 3 seconds to suggest something, I've already typed it myself.
Speed is money.
Yeah.
And the industry estimates show that serving a single active user, and by that I mean someone who's really using it, like 100 or 200 completions a day, it costs the company between $8 and $15 a month.
Just in raw compute and electricity?
Whoa. Wait a minute. So do the math with me here. If it costs them $15 a month to serve me, and they were charging me $10.
You see the problem. The entire business model was upside down.
They were paying us to use it, subsidizing us to get us all hooked.
That is the classic Silicon Valley playbook, right? But now the bill is coming due, and that's why this whole freemium trap is collapsing.
So companies are killing their free tiers, like Copilot did, Or they're just jacking up prices to cover what it actually costs.
Right. The prices aren't really being gouged. They're just correcting to the laws of physics and economics.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, it's annoying, but it makes logical sense.
Yeah.
But let's play devil's advocate for a second. Even if the price is fair, developers hate paying for tools.
Oh, yeah. We're a frugal bunch.
We love open source. We love free stuff. So $19-$21 a month. It still feels like a lot when you're used to paying zero.
It feels like a lot psychologically, for sure.
Yeah.
But let's actually look at the ROI, the return on investment. The sources we looked at had a really great breakdown of this.
Okay.
So let's take a developer earning, say, $50 an hour. Pretty standard rate in a lot of places.
$50 an hour. Got it.
And let's be super conservative. Let's say the AI tool is having a bad day. It hallucinates. It gives you some weird syntax.
Yeah.
But even then, let's say it saves you just 30 minutes of work across an entire day.
Okay, 30 minutes is nothing. I'd probably save that just on writing unit tests.
Exactly. So over a month, that's roughly 10 hours of save time. At $50 an hour, that is $500 of value you just created. Or saved.
And the tool only cost you $19.
Right. Do the math. That is a 2,532% return on investment.
Wow.
Even if you only save 15 minutes a day, which is barely anything, you're still clearing over 1,000% ROI.
So when you put it that way, it's a complete no-brainer. It's probably the highest leverage tool you can possibly buy. So why does it still feel painful to swipe the credit card? Why do I hesitate?
It's pure psychology. The savings are invisible. You don't see the time you didn't spend debugging something. You just finish your day a little earlier. You get more done.
But you do see that credit card bill every single month.
Exactly. And you remember that one time the AI suggested a library that doesn't even exist, but you forget the 100 times it saved you from typing out a boring JSON structure.
True. And the fact that free alternatives are out there makes paying feel like you're losing.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It feels like you're getting scammed, even when the math says you're coming out way ahead.
So speaking of alternatives, let's survey the landscape right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm sitting here, credit card in hand, wondering where to point it, what are my main options?
The market has really broken down into three main lanes. First, you have the standard, that's GitHub Copilot.
With the full choice.
Yeah, $19 for individuals. It integrates everywhere. It's reliable. It's safe. It's the Toyota Camry of AI coding.
Dependable.
Yeah.
What's next? I've been hearing a lot about Cursor lately.
Cursor is for the power users. That's the pro lane. It's not just an extension. It's a whole standalone IDE. It's a fork of VS Code.
Right.
It costs more, $20 to $30, but it has this feature called Composer Mode.
And what does that do?
It lets the AI edit multiple files at once. So you can literally say, rename this component and update all the references across the entire project, and it just does it.
Yeah.
It feels less like an autocomplete and more like a junior developer sitting inside your machine.
Okay, that sounds like it could be worth the extra $10. But what about the bargain hunters, the students?
For them, there's Codeium. They are the value champion. They still offer a really solid, unlimited free plan for individual developers.
And it's actually good.
It's good. Maybe not quite as polished as Copilot in some edge cases, but for $0, it's incredibly impressive.
And what if you're deep in the Google Cloud world?
Then you'd look at Gemini Code Assist. Its superpower is its massive context window. If you're working on some huge ancient code base with million line files, Gemini can read more of it at once than the others.
Okay, so those are basically the rentals. You're renting a brain from Microsoft or Google. But we promised a revolution. We promised a way to beat these price hikes entirely. Let's talk about going local.
This is where things get really, really interesting. The alternative to renting an AI brain is to, well, run the brain on your own computer.
Let's define the local model, just to be clear. What is physically happening?
It means the actual AI software, the neural network, the weights, the whole thing, it lives on your hard drive. So when you ask for code, your request doesn't go out over the internet to a server farm in Virginia. It goes straight to your own graphics card.
No internet needed at all.
Not at all.
That immediately brings up a huge benefit. Privacy.
It's the killer feature. If you're working on top secret proprietary code or you're under a strict NDA, local models guarantee that your code never, ever leaves your building. It's like air-gapped intelligence.
And the cost, after you have the hardware, is zero.
$0 a month.
Okay, but here's the skepticism. Can my gaming PC at home really compete with a billion-dollar server farm? Am I going to get, you know, garbage code?
And that was the assumption for a long time. But the source has highlighted a really interesting Fibonacci function test. It's a common coding benchmark. they put GitHub Copilot head-to-head with a local model called DeepSeek Coder.
DeepSeek, that's the one everyone's buzzing about.
Speaking
so
of
how
that,
did it...
Okay, so GitHub Copilot wrote the function in 0.8 seconds, blazing fast. And the code quality got a 5-star rating, perfect.
That's tough to beat.
Well, DeepSeek Coder, the big 33 billion parameter version, it took 2.1 seconds, so noticeably slower.
Slower. But was the code any good?
5 stars. It matched Copilot's quality perfectly.
Get out of here. So I have to wait one extra second.
Yeah.
Literally 1 second.
Okay.
But I pay $0 a month and I keep all my privacy.
That is the trade-off. Now, they also tested a smaller version, DeepSeek 6.7b. It was super fast, 0.9 seconds, but the code quality dropped to 3 stars.
So it worked, but it was simpler.
Yeah, less robust, not as elegant.
And so size clearly matters. And that brings us to the big reality check. I can't just run this 33 billion parameter monster on my old college laptop, can I?
No. And this is where the free part gets a big asterisk next to it. You need a GPU. And not just any GPU. You need a lot of video memory, VRAM.
Why VRAM specifically?
Because the model itself is huge. And it has to be loaded entirely into the graphics card's own fast memory to work properly. If it spills over into your regular system RAM, your speed just plummets.
So to run that high-quality DeepSeek 33B model, how much VRAM are we talking?
You need about 24 gigabytes of VRAM.
24 gigs. Okay, so that basically locks you into an NVIDIA RTX 3090 or a 4090.
Exactly. And those are not cheap cards. You're talking over $1,000, maybe $1,500 for a 4090.
That's a steep price of admission.
It is. But let's go back to that ROI calculation. If you're a freelancer and you're paying for Copilot, maybe ChatGPT Plus, maybe Midjourney, you could be at $60, $70 a month. A high-end GPU pays for itself in under 2 years.
And you get a killer gaming rig when you're done with work.
That's the other perk. It's a business expense that also plays Cyberpunk 2077.
What if I have a more normal card? A mid-range setup?
If you've got something like an RTX 4060 Ti or 3060, you'll have 12 to 16 gigs of VRAM. You can't run that big DeepSeek model, but you can run mid-range models like Coda Llama 13B. They're decent. They get the job done.
But you lose some of that magic.
You lose some of the magic, yeah.
And just to be clear, running on a CPU alone is a non-starter.
Do not even try it. You'll wait 10 to 30 seconds for a single line of code to autocomplete. It just breaks your flow completely. It's like trying to type through molasses.
Okay, so you need the gear. But let's say I have the gear. Maybe I'm a video editor. I've got a beefy GPU already. Is setting this all up a total nightmare? Does local AI mean I need to be a Linux sysadmin?
2 years ago, yes, it was an absolute nightmare. Today, it is shockingly easy. There's a tool called a Llama.
O-L-L-A-M-A.
Right. And you should just think of a Llama as Docker for AI models. It handles all the messy, complicated stuff for you. You download an installer, you run it, and then you open your terminal and type one single command.
Like what?
Something like a Llama pull deepseekcoder.33b, and that's it.
And it just downloads the whole thing.
It downloads the model, it sets up a local server, it optimizes everything for your specific hardware, all automatically.
But I don't code in the terminal.
Yeah.
I want it in my editor, in VS Code.
That's step two. You just install a free extension in VS Code. The popular ones are continue.dev or
right.
Twinny. You go into the settings, you pick a Llama from a drop-down list, and you're done.
And the experience, does it feel clunky?
Not at all. Once it's set up, it looks and feels just like Copilot. You get the ghost text autocomplete as you type. You get the chat window on the side. You can highlight code and ask it to fix this bug. It's the exact same workflow, just powered by your own silicon.
That is just wild. It really feels like we're at a major fork in the road for the whole industry. You've got expensive subscriptions on one path and build your own AI on the other.
I know. Where's this all going? The sources laid out 3 pretty likely scenarios for the future, and they're a good way to think about it.
Well, let's hear them.
Okay, scenario 1. Big tech monopoly. They give this a 40% chance. This is the future where the cloud models just get so good, so massive, that a local PC just can't compete anymore.
Then we're all forced to pay whatever they ask.
Pretty much. The productivity gap is just too wide to ignore.
Okay, that sounds expensive. What's scenario 2?
Open source dominance. This has about a 35% chance. This is where local models get so good and so efficient that big tech is actually forced to drop their prices to compete with them.
So the rebellion wins.
The rebellion wins. And we go back to a world of cheap or free AI.
I'm rooting for that one. And the third.
The hybrid future. a 25% chance, and probably the most realistic outcome. Companies use the cloud for the really heavy lifting, like designing a whole new system architecture, but then they use local models for all the day-to-day privacy-sensitive coding.
That makes a ton of sense. You don't need a supercomputer to write a simple switch statement.
Right. Use the cheap local labor for the bricks and hire the expensive cloud architect for the blueprints.
But hearing all this, you know, AI getting smarter, local models getting faster, I have to ask the question that's in the back of every developer's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Are we automating ourselves out of a job?
The verdict from all the experts is pretty clear. AI augments, it does not replace. But, and this is a really big bubblet, it is changing the job description.
How so?
The skills are shifting. We're moving away from just writing syntax and more towards reviewing logic. Code review becomes maybe the most critical skill because AI makes mistakes.
And it can be very confident when it's wrong.
Extremely confident. So the copy-paste junior dev is now an endangered species.
If your whole job is just taking code from the AI, pasting it, and hoping it works.
You are a liability. You're dangerous. But for architects, for security specialists, for senior devs who treat AI as a power tool and not a crutch, they're safer than ever. They just became super producers.
It's like when architects went from drawing by hand to using CAD software. The architects didn't vanish. They just got way faster and started designing crazier buildings.
That's the perfect analogy. The bar for what one person can build just went way, way up.
All right. Let's wrap this up with some actual concrete advice for everyone listening, from students to CTOs. Who should be using what right now?
Okay, let's do a quick decision matrix. If you are a student or you have absolutely no budget, start with Codeium Free. It's unlimited. It's good enough. Don't overthink it.
Okay. And what if I'm a pro developer? I'm making good money. And I just want the smoothest, easiest experience.
Just stick with GitHub Copilot. It's still the gold standard for a reason. The $19 is well worth the time you save, not having to tinker with anything.
And for the privacy advocates or the hardware geeks,
build a rig for DeepSeek Local. If you have the GPU already, or you absolutely cannot let your code leave your machine, it's the only real choice.
I also really like that hybrid strategy that was mentioned.
Yeah, that's a smart play.
Yeah.
Use a free local model for 90% of your grunt work. And then maybe you pay for 1 month of a super advanced cloud AI only when you have a really complex project that needs it.
You don't have to stay subscribed forever.
Exactly.
It all comes back to that golden rule for me. A good developer with a free tool will beat a bad developer with a paid tool every single time.
Absolutely. You are still the architect. The AI is just a very, very fast bricklayer.
So before we go, here's a final thought to chew on. We're so used to this idea of monthly subscriptions for everything now, right? Music, movies, and now code. But if these local models keep getting better at this pace, and the hardware on our desks keeps getting faster,
go on.
Will we eventually look back at this time, this very specific window where we paid $20 a month for code completion, as just a brief, strange anomaly in history, a weird little blip before we all just reclaimed our own digital brains?
That's a fascinating question. I mean, the pendulum in tech is always swinging between centralization and decentralization. We might just be watching it start to swing back right now.
Something to think about the next time you see that subscription renewal email pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to this deep dive. We'll see you in the next one.
Keep coding.